We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I kind of feel like Tom Thayer as I watch this game. I no longer am like, oh,
no,
you're more like, you know,
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
You're kind of talking to yourself, like just mumbling, oh, no, no, no.
Here we go again.
But it's not like an upbeat.
No,
it's just a
it's drudgery.
It's
drudgery.
God awful. Mama said there'd be days like this. I mean, you know, the
how about
rookie
decades like this? I mean, come on.
I'm just saying the kid had a
fourth
bad game. But
consecutive season with double digit losses.
At least they're dependable.
At least they're consistent. I mean, seriously, where is the bar here?
The bar is so low, it's frightening. It's just so low. I think this is just the process.
If you miss on Mitch Trubisky, it's not missing on Hironas Gressou. It's not missing on Kevin White. It's not missing on Larry Floyd. If you miss on Mitch Trubisky, you're starting from scratch. Now the coaching staff's not the only one to go. It's a couple of years from now, and the boy wonder GM who said we're never going to be in the position to draft this high again, and look, right now you hold the sixth pick instead of the third overall pick. Close enough.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
Miritich against Sarge. Miritich into the lane. Jumping, turning, scoring.
He drew the foul.
It's the Nico show. John goes to his left, driving, kick out. Nico for three.
Give me the hot dog at the United Center. Oh, my goodness.
And a timeout, Philadelphia, their final timeout. Wow.
No one would have thought this. And Nico Miritich
is 6-0.
I'm yelling MVP, Nico. MVP champ for Nico right now. We're 6-0 with Nico Miritich in the lineup.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. Nico, Nico. Let Nico. Nicola.
All-star Nico? I don't know about MVP Nico. All-star.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. There's some other people doing some wonderful things in the league. But he's the Bulls MVP.
Yeah?
MVP in our hearts.
And I didn't know you needed a D to spell Nico, but his defense all of a sudden. You see that stretch down? Did you see that the final few minutes? He had a steal. He had a block. I mean, boy, Dario's, he treated Dario Saric like rhymes with his last name. He was all over the place with him. I mean, it was Nico not just sitting in the corner throwing up threes anymore. Nico in the post. Nico taking the ball from J.J. Redick.
They got to trade him. It's the only conclusion. They got to get rid of him.
Really?
They can't keep winning. Brian, are you paying attention? They're the first team in league history to ever win 10 in a row, excuse me, to ever lose 10 in a row and then win 5 in a row. Now they've won 6 in a row. So they're the first team in league history ever to lose 10 in a row and now win 6 in a row.
But shame on me. I'm enjoying watching Bulls games.
I love it. I'm loving it.
It's
so much fun.
I'm sorry. It actually looks like NBA basketball. The offense actually looks like something you can recognize. I mean, it looks like guys have a plan and are executing
it. And they got a guy that's dunking like a maniac during practice that can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
He's apparently got some back spasms.
Yeah, whether
he's working so hard.
So now he did 3 days without practice. So, a little bit of setback.
Well, that's, you know what that's called. It's like, oh, my God.
Tap the brakes on this
thing. Yeah. Oh, my God, we're going to win by 10 if we bring him back. It's not just going to be a two-point win.
Hey, easy there, Zach. How about February?
We're going to make the playoffs.
How about February for the return instead of January? First week of January? How about March? March is
how
good.
How about the Bulls? How about the Bulls? Come on. This is hilarious. They can't even lose correctly. You got to love it. It's just so much fun. We had wrapped our minds around this idea that this was going to be, like, not just a bad year.
You couldn't watch them bad.
But, like, didn't we have them, like, 7 games worse than everyone else in the standings? The fine folks in Vegas that make these projections, There was nobody that was going to be as bad as the Bulls. Now look at them.
I thought for sure you want a lock bet. I thought bet the under on the total wins that they posted at 20.
It was 12, right?
20.
20. Okay.
20. But think about that. And I thought that.
Yeah.
I thought for sure.
Nine? They're going to have to trade someone.
Now
they're going to break up this championship caliber roster.
Now that said, is there a 6-game losing streak in their future this season, or have they turned that corner?
Not if they keep Brooke Lopez and they keep Nico.
Robin Lopez. No, they're
Brooke
trading
Lopez
him.
Sprained an ankle or something, right?
Yeah, they're trading Robin. Right, Robin's going.
Well, we thought for sure, but
and Robin probably okay going because he'd like to probably be.
Yeah, I don't blame him, but he's apparently wonderful in the locker room.
Oh, he's a pro.
And, pro.
I mean, absolutely.
And he's really done more from what I've heard. In terms of the Nico Bobby Portis, what is that now? Is that a Cold War? I mean, what's happened there? A detente. Look at you.
First of all, it's one thing for Nico to sing the praises of Nico, and he's not shy to do that, right?
Yeah.
He's there for it. Chris Dunn in the post game last night, did you hear him talk about Nico the leader? Nico, the old guy leading the young guys. I mean, he said things I don't remember any young guy talking about Jimmy. Jimmy Butler got so criticized for not knowing how to lead and kind of getting in his own way. And he was trying to lead, but it really was.
He didn't know how to lead.
No.
And then of course, with
D. Wade.
With three here.
Yeah.
His idea of leadership is to align himself with the best player on the team.
Yeah, and then
they end up ripping on the other players. You look at them, and they've got this, like, camaraderie.
My name is three, not Dwayne.
But
I knew it was something.
Chris Dunn sounded sincere when he talked about Nico, not just Nico, the player who's been the spark, but listen to this.
Credit to him, when he came back, it felt like, we've been going through the dark times, and, everything that happened, in the beginning of the season, him and Bobby, they hashed it out. Now they're good. They're doing great. They're playing well off each other. I think everything is, flowing the way we wanted to. And, glad to have, both of them playing at a high level for us. We've been saying this since Nico's back, and, that's what we've been saying lately. He's playing unbelievable basketball, he's a very good leader, especially to the young group, me, Denzel, and all the other players. He's been leading us very well. He's very communicative too on a, when he's on the court. We're very appreciative of having him back.
Very appreciative.
What is that? What's that? What is this?
I don't know. Tell me. That was four in 60 seconds. Okay.
Maybe he was tired from playing a 48-minute basketball game, and his diction wasn't proper enough for Dustin Rhodes.
He's got too much money to attend the classes of Professor Rhodes.
I don't know. Tell me.
What if he agreed to be a celebrity speaker at the Illinois Media School, and how you could have your students interview?
Oh, there'd be a swooning.
That's gone out the window now.
Yeah.
Never going to happen.
When does Fred break out the Nico's Back t-shirts?
Nico's Back.
I mean, really, right? You got to take a page right out of Joe Madden, right? Nico's Back.
No. I would say that Chris Dunn is having a nice run as well.
Oh, boy, is he.
Chris Dunn is really playing well. Justin Holiday made how many threes in the first
five
half?
Five threes.
It was ridiculous.
He had all his points in the first half.
He had 20 points. They were all the first half, but he was jacking it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he was just knocking down shots.
He was talking about in his zone.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, he hit three threes in a row, I think. They came down the court, bam. Came down the court, whap. Look at this one. Boom. And I'm kind of like, well, can he really do that? And then he just stopped.
Nico and Chris Dunn in the final 3 or 4 minutes.
It was unbelievable.
One guy wasn't making the play, the other guy was.
It was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable. I got to tell you, Chris Dunn is coming around as a player, and he still has a ways to go. Don't get me wrong, but man, he plays fast, and what we're seeing right now with the Bulls is we're seeing a team that is gaining confidence, which is a dangerous thing. Nico has tons of confidence. Chris Dunn is now playing with confidence, which he didn't do earlier in the year.
And you have to think with Tibbs, he was probably, every time he made a mistake, he was probably looking over his shoulder, wondering if he's under the bench or, he was going to hear about it from Tom Thibodeau. And now he feels like he's running the show. He's running hoyball and all's good. And that's what you, when you heard the Sixers in the postgame talk about, we have to learn how to close out games to win. That's what the Bulls were saying before the streak. That's what Fred kept saying.
Yes.
When crunch time came, yep. they just fell apart.
Beware Nico the closer.
That they were too young to figure out how to protect a lead and close out a game. And here come the Sixers, lost 6 of 7. And that's what you're supposed to do on your home floor, except when you're doing a rebuild. You're supposed to take advantage of a team that's stumbling in here without Joel Embiid, who, by the way, didn't even travel to Chicago.
No, that was weird, huh?
Yeah. I mean, what do you...
And again, this part of the six-game winning streak is beating Boston without Kyrie and beating Philadelphia without Joel Embiid. I'm just saying...
Yeah. You look behind the numbers.
The season has to fall right for you. But it's incredible that a team that we just saw lose 10 in a row has won 6 straight games. It's incredible that a team that had won 3 games has now doubled that total in one little streak in the season.
Here comes Orlando. Very beatable.
Very beatable team. Huh?
A couple weeks ago, we wonder if the 16-game longest losing streak in franchise history was within their sights because they were at 10, and now you're thinking...
We got to go back to our question of whether the Bulls, the Blackhawks, or the Bears would lose first. The Cubs were the winningest team this winter until these teams just took off. Mully and Hanley, the 5-5 is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment was brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users, enter that promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Now that the Bulls have won 6 straight games, how should management react?
Yeah, I do think that there is a certain idea that you got to trade Lopez, trade Mirotić, make sure you get rid of guys that are helping you win games. But I honestly think they should be pleased. They should be very happy because it makes them look like they won the Jimmy Butler trade. It makes them look like, I mean, not just won the Jimmy Butler
trade. Right now,
trade. It's not even close.
Right.
You would never not make that deal
if,
now.
If you chalk up Markkanen's slow start last night to the back issue,
sure.
Because you know what he looks like when he's on fire, you have 3 legit players. Now, I'm not saying superstars, but 3 guys you can certainly pencil into your starting lineup and say, here you go.
They're all, and how old are they, right? They're all 25 and younger, right? So that's what the key to the thing is that you get... You get presumably time with these guys to build and you get to add to it. And they have, what is it, $50 million in cap space, right? They got time. I mean,
they haven't even reached the NBA minimum right now. They have to make some moves to get under, to get up to the base, the bottom line of the salary cap by the deadline.
Yeah. So I think management should be really excited.
They can re-sign Carlos Boozer to do that.
Well, just for one day so he can officially retire a Bull.
Do you really have to announce you're retired?
I think no one would have known otherwise.
I saw the headline. I'm like, yeah, what?
Did he retire his spray can hair as well? Or is that a separate ceremony for that?
But I would say run the course, you know, see what happens. Maybe if this continues, Nico will have some trade value. Maybe this makes you better moving forward. It was interesting. I saw John Paxson yesterday before the game talking, and he said that that they had a really good training camp. And that there was this feeling of camaraderie among the players and that it was overshadowed by the fight. And once the fight happened, that's all anyone talked about. And some of the feel good of their preparation for the season was lost. I really enjoy watching this team play. I'm getting a huge kick out of the winning streak. I wonder if I will stop watching the minute they lose a game or they lose a couple of games. I won't be as enthused. But I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Nico coming back and the Bulls winning has been a very amusing and fun story.
We're about to have a market correction. Just looking at the schedule, I'll give them every chance to beat the Magic.
Okay.
It's home game as well. That's the first of back-to-back because here comes Cleveland right after that, and then here comes the Celtics, and then here comes Milwaukee.
They've already beaten the Celtics. They've already beaten Milwaukee.
Right. Maybe they'll miss
Cleveland,
LeBron and Kyrie.
That's what I was going to say. There's no way that LeBron's going to play against them, given the way this role is going.
You know, I joked about when you said trade Nico still, and I'm like, really? Well, the thing is, and when you hear Chris Dunn talking about what he means to this team, that's a kind of fragile thing, but you do what's best for the team, and you certainly sell high on his stock.
And they will.
You have to, right? Yep. If he's still doing anything close to this in 2-3 weeks in the middle of January, come January 15th, maybe you don't do it on that day or even that week, and maybe you wait till the trade deadline. And you really, but I'd be a little nervous about that. I think you strike while the iron's hot there. But you send a message to the locker room, too, if he's really playing at an all-star level and you trade him, that's the best thing to do for the organization, but it also reminds everyone on the team that you're not supposed to win and we're cutting some of the legs out from underneath you. We're sending, you know, the most consistent player packing because that's what we have to do. So I think the schedule will correct some of the hoopla and tone it down a little bit, but if Nico's doing anything close to this, as much as I really, like you, Molly, enjoy tuning in to watch Bulls basketball because it looks like a legitimate NBA product, that's going to change when Nico's eligible to be traded.
I don't react right now. I think our reaction to how crazy this is to win 6 straight games in the NBA when Kyrie Irving's sitting, Joel Embiid is sitting last night. I mean, Philly was favored to win by 2 without Embiid. So, and it was.
And that's a team that lost UC. 5 of 6, 6 of 7 coming in.
Yes, right, correct. Yes. But I think our reaction, certainly tells you everything. You don't react now. I don't know how much of a market there is, even for guys like Nico, once you get to that mid-January deadline. You still have almost 2 months until the official NBA trade deadline is. But how amazing it is, and it gives me more confidence in this front office than I certainly had, that we felt that they waited too long. They took the best deal that was on the table for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's playing well for Minnesota, and we haven't seen LaVine play a minute, and we're like, they won the deal. I don't really see how you can argue that right now. But moving forward, it gives me more confidence in whatever Bulls management will do, because I think before, whatever they do, no win situation, they're getting criticized with Gar Foreman there. But now I have confidence in them.
It's just been so incredibly fun, the last 6 games. And I feel like as a city, as sports folks here in the city, we needed this right now as kind of a bridge to get us through this dark period with the Hawks still in the infancy of their season. Nothing really matters until the playoffs.
How do you tear your eyes away from the Blackhawks games to fit Bulls in your sports schedule?
It's quite easy, believe me. I have no problem doing it whatsoever. The thing is, too, that Joe mentioned, they haven't even had their best player for the entire season. How is it going to work now when apparently Fred Hoiberg might not be the corpse that everybody thought he was? He might have actually inspired, dare I say, these guys to buy into the system and play a little hoy ball. Chris Dunn looks like a real player. He was fantastic down the stretch last night, just cold as ice. I don't know if I'm ready to buy in quite yet, or I don't know what management is thinking about this, if they're upset that they're actually winning games, because it is such a good draft coming up. But you do have to kind of sit on it, see how the team reacts when LaVine comes back, see if they ever lose a game again, and if they don't, rebuild, cancel. We got to go. Let's ramp this thing up.
Well, I live in a game-by-game, day-by-day basis with my sports. I mean, listen, Gar Foreman and Red Ass Paxson should come and do a victory lap. It looks like they got their guy. They got it right with Fred Hoiberg. He's the leader of men. He got this team to gel together.
He's the leader
they
of college fun. Kids.
They were fun. They were fun. They're playing hoy ball, and based on whoever the other team decides to send out that night and the effort that team that sent out decided to give, the Bulls have been better 6 times in a row. Bravo.
You know, good question, you know.
John Fox said Mitch Trubisky had arguably his best game of the season against Detroit. Would you agree?
No, I don't think he did. I thought that I thought he played a fairly poor game. And if you looked at it, I mean, all the yards came late, and they were against a prevent defense that was leading by a large margin. And, it's good to see the numbers, good to see him put up some yardage, but 3 picks. How can that be your best game when you turn the ball over three times? I'm sorry. That's just, that's not true. And Foxy, I don't know what he's arguing. I really don't. I mean, yeah, I guess the point is that the quarterback's getting better and that they're improving the quarterback. Is that a half-hour pitch for your job? It's pretty weak. Yeah, I would argue that he did not have his best game, but, you know, whatever you want to say there, John, it's fine.
The tone with which he said it, too, was almost, again, rearview mirror stuff. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback.
Right.
Basically saying, I won't be here to see the rest of it. But of he said, I've seen enough to know, and not just during games. He, you know, gave the old backhanded, you get to see the games, we get to see everything about him. And that everyone sings his praises about the leadership, the intangibles, the work ethic, everything. God bless him. And then it almost did sound like, well, if the GM really wants to hear that the prodigy quarterback is on the right track, and then I'll give him, I'll join the chorus and sing that. What really... And I'm with you, Molly. It's not his best game when you turn the ball over. What is his best? Which one is his best game? I mean, have we seen anything close to an A or B game from him? I mean, maybe I'm a tough grader, but I've seen a lot of C pluses or B minuses. Maybe if I'm really being generous, and some of that's a byproduct of some games throwing 15 or 16 times max. I mean, that's as much as you're allowed to throw. When the running game is going well, he does better. When the defense, like Baltimore, sets the tone of the game, he's fine because it wasn't asked to do too much. The defense was putting the ball in the end zone, special teams putting the ball in the end zone, defense setting you up with field position. I hope we haven't seen his A game, because I can't go through the 10 games and give you an A game right now. I just can't do it. So I'd be hard pressed to give you a B game, a solid B game, if you're talking about franchise quarterback stuff, not Case Keenum, you know, that type of level, serviceable. Could have a career in the league for 10 years and pop around as a one or a two. I think he's on the right track, but we haven't seen the game. We haven't seen the Mitch Trubisky game we keep hoping to see, where it's the quarterback did everything, he did everything right, and he led the team to victory.
Fox is just trying to give his young quarterback some confidence. This is a weekly thing, I feel. Isn't it like the fifth time he said that this is his best
second,
game of the year?
Second consecutive week, right?
It just keeps happening. Yeah, that's all I think he's doing, just giving his young quarterback some confidence. We did criticize, or some of us did, early in the season when they weren't letting him throw it, and now they're just let it rip. And I know it's a lot of it is because they're trailing in so many of these games, losing six of their last seven, but in six of the last seven games, he's thrown it at least 30 times. It's not going to be a good recipe with this group of receivers. Obviously, not one of his best games. It was one of his worst games. It was in a situation where, oh, it was a tip ball. That's not on the quarterback. Oh, receiver ran the wrong route. That's not on the quarterback. There were some bad throws in that game. He made a couple good ones, but there were some bad throws. I thought it was one of his worst.
Definitely not his best game, but I mean, I guess... I respect John Fox for trying to still portray himself as a head coach for a couple more weeks here at least, so that's good on him. I mean, Trubisky's best game, I think, obviously was against Cincinnati, but the whole team played really well, so he looked better in comparison, too. But no, not his best game. Perhaps with Cleveland coming in, that's when the time you'll see his best game this upcoming weekend. Fingers crossed.
I mean, I learned this from you guys. This is one of those situations where, you know, if you would have said... You know, Mitch stunk out loud. If he's going to continue to throw interceptions like he did to start the second half, we're never going to win another game with him as our quarterback. That would be the news, right? I mean, what did you expect? What did you expect him to say? It was lame, and that's what makes him. Again, he took issue early in the season, way back in probably August, September, about how he's viewed as dishonest by the fans. I mean, we all sat and watched this game, either live or on DVR, and in different stages and in different ways. That was clearly not his best game. That interception in the end zone to start the second half was absolute hot garbage.
Which
it was awful.
Awful. Has he had a best game, or has he had a bunch of
okay games, right? A bunch of okay games. I hope what he's not being dishonest about is how he prepares, how his teammates like him, how he's a leader in the huddle, it sounds like he's one of the first guys in and one of the last guys out.
And they showed him on
the
sideline Saturday, right, going up to each guy in the offense.
Each lineman. I loved, as a former lineman, I loved the fact that he said, listen, I'm not going to, you know, complain and moan and throw guys under the bus who are getting called for holding. They're trying to protect me. They're trying to protect me. So how in the world could I throw them right under the bus for getting holding penalties? That's the type of stuff you want to hear as a teammate in a post-game press conference.
This is an unfair question, Mike, but that's what we do here.
Can you please make your best pitch to Yu Darvish as to why he should join the Cubs?
What did they need 3.5 hours of conversation for? And they flew down there.
That's
I love that
answer.
Yeah, I mean, they flew to Dallas to treat Yu Darvish like he is the Max Scherzer. Okay, here's my pitch. It would have taken 3.5 minutes, not 3.5 hours. Here's our checkbook. We got a 3-year contract, 2 years guaranteed, and the third year can vest if you hit a certain number of innings pitched. You made $11 million last year. You are 31. That World Series wasn't too eye-popping, but the 21-plus ERA. We'll give you, let's say, $17, $18 million for each of the first 2 years, and if you vest on that third year, we'll give you $20 million. So let's call it $60 million, out the door, done, sign here, and if not, see you later.
Yeah, that's not the pitch that he was hoping for. I would say, we'll double your salary and give you a few years to get back on the free agent market, and meanwhile, you can win a World Series, not just get to one. I would just play him a highlight reel, show him what the World Series looked like, and ask him if he wants to be a part of it. That's all. I mean, listen, you could come in here and be a top guy. And we'll give you money and we'll take care of you and we'll do all the things that we do. I mean, I think that this is one of the best situations in baseball, and that's all they have to tell the guy. And I think it's an easy thing to convince him. We're going to do this, that, and the other, and you're going to get paid big money. So we need you. Let's go.
You. I get it. You're embarrassed in the World Series. That's not you. We believe in you.
I love you, man.
Nico's busting out back. The shtick on your last day here, you, Joe. So you're saving this one for
you.
Getaway day.
You just... big lug you. We love you.
We're going to go back to the World Series.
You had me at hi.
Yeah. You can't spell Cubs without you.
You. You. You good.
You.
We're going back to the World Series. If you want to go back to the World Series, you would sign with the Cubs. I mean, hey, you're going to make the money no matter where you go, you. But listen, we didn't even have a good season last year. We had John Lack in the rotation. We sent Kyle Schwarber down to the minors, and we played in the NLCS for the third straight year. So we are going to be in the mix. You can join us, and we would love to have you.
Just repeat his name a lot.
Yeah. You know, it should be an easy pitch if you're the Cubs. You know, you do have quite a talented young core. You have these guys under control for a long time. You've been to the NLCS, 3 years in a row now? You won a World Series in 7 games.
You didn't win. You lost that World Series.
Come on. Let's
stop it.
Can we not?
Joe started it.
Yeah, he did.
How do you avoid it?
How do you avoid it?
Please don't sign here. I can't deal with this.
Yeah, how many? 4 years? 4 or 5 years of this? Good God.
Headline writers love it. Not so much on radio.
It's simple. Like I just said, they're going to be back in the playoffs every single year. He's going to be able to get $200 million. They have a lot of money available. It's very simple. If you're the Cubs, you can make a very easy pitch. Chicago is a world-class city, and I'm not sure how much or how long a flight to Osaka is from Chicago, but I'm sure it's fine. So, yes, you, come here.
I'll just stick with what I said yesterday because I got 3 days left after today and I want to be at all three of them. Hashtag anybody but you.
Really? Just because of...
That's a hell of a pitch.
You're offended because he had a no-trade clause, so you don't want him
now. I'm offended because...
The Cubs were on the list.
The Cubs were on the list of places he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So if you didn't want to go... When you've been languishing, okay, as just a guy collecting a big old paycheck down in the great state of Texas for forever and basically losing in the wild card round or being swept in an ALDS round like the Rangers typically do, okay? I don't need the special computer that the Cubs have to understand. Listen, the Cubs rotation right now gets them into the postseason. They're looking for that guy to actually win a World Series game.
Wait, time out.
He can't win a World Series game.
I watched the World Series. Time out before you get upset. You said that the Cubs right now have the rotation to get him to back to the World Series?
No. To the postseason, I said. They have the rotation to get them to the postseason.
Division or
I don't think their rotation is not built to win a World Series. But Yu Darvish pitched in two World Series games, and he couldn't close the deal. So now the Cubs want to give him $100+ million over 5+ years.
Supposedly, right? Wasn't that the
Hickey will help him out with? That. That's why the Hickman.
It's all good. Darvish or Lance Lynn.
Oh well, Lance Lynn is he doesn't win you a World Series game.
I'm asking. He's on the radar,
right? He doesn't. I'm saying, Joe, of the names that were put out there
Darvish.
You mentioned it in your update at the top of the show, right? John Heyman talked about the pitchers in the mix. Okay, there's one guy on that list. There's one guy on that list that I think can win a World Series game.
Jake Arrieta.
I don't even know if he's in the mix anymore. Jake can win a World Series game. The other guy is Chris Archer. But I also believe what John Heyman said, that the owner of the Rays is ticked off still at how the Madden thing went down. He's not going to do business with them.
I'd like not to answer any personal questions, but if you have any baseball questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Ken Rosenthal suggested the Cubs could trade Addison Russell, Mike Montgomery, and a prospect for Manny Machado. Is that package too high, and are Addison Russell's best days still ahead?
That package is too high, and here's the thing. Theo went to the winter meeting, said it. He said it more than once. They try to make a deal. They made the Quintana deal before the trade deadline. They try to do things so they're not in a desperate state. And they don't do things out of desperation. They try to, something like disciplined aggressiveness. The idea of Manny Machado, I'm all for it. The idea of that infield, I mean, I can't wait to go see as many games as possible with Chris Bryant at third and Machado at short and Baez at second. There's a big Anthony Rizzo at first, and here you go. You start getting your postseason tickets forever. But the idea that, Mike Montgomery, is he really fallen out of grace so much that he sounded off about wanting to be a starter? He's under control, three or four more years? He's a very valuable piece to the Cubs moving forward. You don't have to give that much for a rental on Manny Machado, unless you were to get the 72-hour guarantee, because I think within that 72 hours, you might actually get a deal done if you're the Cubs and Manny Machado. But that said, you give him Addison Russell. I know that some people are saying, don't give up on Addison Russell. He might not be MVP Addison Russell in the next 5 years, but he isn't close to hitting his ceiling. I don't think he's hit his ceiling either, but I'm not sure what that is. I don't know that's Manny Machado good in the future. If I had to make a bet today, I'd say it's not. So it's too high a package, and I don't think they need to go there because they're not desperate.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's not too high a package if you get him long term.
Right.
If he actually signs long term, that's unbelievable. Then you just have to figure out a way to get rid of Hayward, and then you can see what you can do after that. But that's an unbelievable infield, as you say. That's you're talking about like Hall of Famers. You're talking about Tinkers to Evers to Chance or something, right? Someone write a damn poem in a hurry. It would be absolutely unbelievable. I do think that Addison Russell's best days are still ahead of him. I think that he's going through growing pains that,
both on and off the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Youth is wasted on the young and all that stuff. And I think that that he will find a balance in his life and on the field as well. And I think he'll be fine. I know everybody is in love with Mike Montgomery, but if you could get Machado for these two in a prospect, they don't have great prospects, right? I'd do that in a heartbeat. Provided you could sign him long term. I mean, the key is getting him long term. But why would he come to a place like the Cubs and not want to stay there? Especially when he's around guys kind of his own age and everybody, he'll
fall.
You'll get him here,
yeah.
And he will absolutely. It's such a culture shock from being in Baltimore.
Empty Camden Yards,
exactly,
and try the barbecue.
All of that stuff. Well, and the crowd will love him. And he'd stay for a very long time. I would make that deal as much as it seems like a lot to give up for a guy that with uncertainty. I would be certain that these guys can get that done long term, and I would be all over it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. If it's 1 year of Machado, no, you're not making the deal. I would say if you are confident that you would get him to re-sign with the Cubs, it would be an absolute steal for the Cubs. Even with 4 years of Addison Russell, it's 4 years of Mike Montgomery, and we know Montgomery is a valuable swing guy, but the Cubs would probably be able to find another guy that can fill that role for them. And I think Russell's best days are ahead of him. He's already one of the best defensive shortstops. I don't know if he'll ever be elite offensively, but his best days are ahead of him. We forget, because he's been up, he came up so young. He's 23 years old. So I think the Orioles would love to make that deal today.
Yeah, he's 23 years old. Manny Machado is 25. And when he was 23, he hit 35 home runs, drove in 100 runs, played just as good as defense as Addison Russell. If this is the offer that the Cubs are proposing to Baltimore, I think Baltimore would laugh in their faces. Why would they want a guy who's just 2 years younger? And I know you're going to have control over Addison Russell, but Mike Montgomery's 28. It's not like the Cubs have a ton of great prospects left in their minor league system. I don't think Baltimore would accept this trade. I don't think it's too high. I think it's way too low, even for 1 year of Manny Machado. This is just, I don't believe this. I'm not buying this one.
Well, if it is the offer, I mean, we talked about how you win a World Series. That infield and that lineup, that's how you could win a World Series, okay? That's the guy that can they'd be so powerful, they'd score enough runs to get over the fact that they don't have a solid ace number one right now. I mean, John Lester is very good, but he's also getting older, and Quintana still has to prove it to me. If I'm the only one left, that's fine. But that's how you get back to a World Series, is a guy like that. I'd do that deal in a heartbeat.
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from, that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them. And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
Oh, God. Jesus.
The best.
Bring him back.
Hey, did you see we have a texter who has Joe just popping his head in the room while they're talking to Darvish and saying, "We go, you go."
You go, we go.
Yeah.
And we also had a bull.
Away from not to sign.
We also had a texter saying, "Nico, we go."
It's pun game is unbelievable today, guys. Well done. What is your Super Bowl prediction now?
Meow. I have yet to see the Super Bowl champion emerge. I think Minnesota can lose that thing because I've seen them do that before. I'm going with Minnesota. I think the Eagles, the quarterback thing is going to catch up to them. It has to, doesn't it? You can't win. I mean, teams have done it. We've seen it happen the Giants did it 1 year. I mean, I can think of a few different ways where it's happened, but I'll go with Minnesota. That's a reserve quarterback deal too. And I'll say Minnesota against Minnesota losing to, you know, I don't want to say the Patriots, but I'll say the Patriots.
Wow, look at this list of NFC possibilities.
It's not much, is it?
No. No. This is not any TV.
Who's the team that can catch fire out of that bunch? If the running backs are okay, the Saints. Think about this.
Any,
right,
any
Rams,
of them?
Yeah,
right?
Any of them. But here's the
deal. You know, I'd love to see. I'd love to see the Jags in the Super Bowl. I think that would be hilarious.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Just the young defense and all that stuff. Blake Bortles. I'd laugh.
But you're hardcore NFL. For the average Super Bowl fan to tune in, first of all, it's going to be in Minnesota. This would be the perfect ending to this NFL season with all the Goodell stuff and Jerry Jones and low ratings. You're going to go to Minnesota. Let's say there's a blizzard leading up to the game.
Sounds awesome.
And you have Jacksonville representing one side. And
awesome.
And no Tom Brady and no Aaron Rodgers.
Minnesota at home. We never see teams in the Super Bowl.
I mean, can you imagine? Look, I'm going with the Saints. Big Kamara fan. And it's Drew Brees. And they're going to play the Super Bowl indoors.
Do you know who owned the draft pick he was selected with? Bears.
Bears. There you go. Wow. That's great. Terrific. And
I'd rather have Cohen.
He was one of the picks given up for Mitchell Trubisky. You'd rather have Cohen.
Wow, you're
that's great. That's
look great at show. This. I mean, Tom Brady and Gronkowski, can they carry that team yet again?
You know what it is? Watching them, and I don't know why, but they know how to finish.
Exactly.
They just know how to finish. 51
game-winning drives.
That's
and Gronkowski looked like the week off did him very well. But that said, the Steelers gave that game away. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
All right, the NFC.
Worried about the wide receiver.
Yeah, that's
really
true.
Worried. In the NFC, maybe I'm wrong. I'm convinced it's the Vikings, probably because I don't have any money on them. I'm done questioning Case Keenum. I've spent most of the year doing it, that the real Case Keenum's going to show up at some point, and it just feels like that team is built to be quarterback-proof, where the quarterback is not going to mess it up. And then, of course, what happened with the Eagles. As a long shot, a team on the outside right now, if they get in, watch out for the Cowboys with a healthy Zeke coming back this weekend, if they can get in.
They got to win both those games, and who do they
help.
Play? They play
Philly should
Philly,
sit
the
everybody.
Last game of the year. It's Seattle and Philly.
At home.
But Seattle, they should beat Seattle at home.
Yeah, so there's a chance. I do not believe in that team we saw last night, the Falcons.
That's a playoff game, Seattle-Dallas, right? I mean, that's...
Yes. Yeah. And on the AFC side, I don't believe in the Steelers. I can't believe I'm saying this because this is another team I've doubted all year because quarterback play. The Jaguars.
Tom Coughlin has gone down there and changed the culture, and look at this.
Everyone's 5 minutes early.
That's right. Coughlin time.
Or they're late.
This is weird.
If you're early...
Do we get two Jaguar picks during this little... Okay.
Is there a better quarterback than Blake Bortles right now?
That action.
It's so weird.
I said I want it. I want it. Yeah. I didn't...
The Jacksonville Jaguars make the Super Bowl, eat my hat, okay?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Here we go.
Awesome. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, blue
you
hair.
Better, yeah, blue hair better watch out.
Yeah.
Don't let your mouth cash check that you're...
It was cashed last time. I lived up to that.
Don't let your mouth write a check that your arse can't cash.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Rams and the Patriots. See, that's a pick right there.
Wow. Kevin and I are scary close. Let me see.
Will
this.
L.A. fans finally get interested in the NFL if their team's at the Super Bowl?
I still don't think they know that they have a team out
there.
Okay,
they have two, in case they went scoring at all.
What a joke.
First of all, I want Steelers-Patriots Part 2. That was as excited
was a great game.
As I've been this entire NFL season. It lived up to it. It was the most watched game all year. I thought Nance and Mr. EIU, Scooby-Doo,
Romo.
NIU, Romo was fantastic.
Was great. Yeah.
I felt like I was sitting next to him on my couch with our feet in the air as the over came in, as I told Joel Wood.
Right there in the old lazy boy with the feet and legs up in the air. Not the feet, the legs in the air.
That's right.
What number did you get? I thought the under came in.
No, I think it was right there.
Okay.
I think it was right there. Any hoodles, I think he's going to get really lubed up.
Sure.
Wow.
I was lubed up watching that game.
Jesus.
Hey, now. So the winner of that game, will play the Rams. And here's why. Gurley, okay? They can run the ball. They can run the ball. Their quarterback can do just enough. And here's the storyline.
She's a man, baby.
I, as a Bear fan, my hope is that somehow the Bears can make the one-year jump that the Rams have made.
Good
the
luck.
Rams made a huge one-year jump with the new head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
they
my,
also
that's
had
my
some
story
really good
line.
Free agent signings.
That's my storyline. A couple key free agent storylines, and here's the key. The key is the fantastic play caller. Maybe he's not the head coach, but the fantastic play caller working with Mitchell Trubisky.
All right, well, we'll end the segment on that note.
Boy.
312-644-6767.
It is the holiday season, right?
It's time for a Christmas
Those
miracle.
Those who believe, receive.
Time for a Christmas miracle. There you go.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.